This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're talking today by phone with Jonathan Vanderbrug, who is the Healthcare Justice Director for the Campaign for Better Healthcare, the voice of Illinois consumers. Jonathan, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, hi, I'm here.
Great. Sorry we had some technical problems, but glad you're with us. You're speaking with our intern, Carly Nix, as well as me, Steve Shoemaker. So let's talk a little bit about what is the Campaign for Better Healthcare?
The Campaign for Better Healthcare is a very broad and diverse coalition that is dedicated to working for quality, affordable health care for all in Illinois. We consist of small businesses, social service agencies, labor, providers, doctors, hospitals, and many of our members are also members of faith communities as well. And we actually have a faith caucus that consists of 200 to 300 congregations across the state, congregations of all faiths, and they work together to really promote what I would call the moral imperative for healthcare reform. They do a number of activities, joint letters, joint appeal letters. They produce resources for congregations who want to get involved for working for healthcare justice. So the campaign is a very diverse group. It includes faith communities, and it advocates for comprehensive healthcare reform in Illinois.
Now, this is just a statewide organization, right? Are you tied in also with national groups, or is this an independent entity?
We have national partners that we work actively with, but we're a state-based group. We have our main office is right there in Champaign-Urbana, and we also have an office in Chicago.
And when this program is heard in Indiana as well as Illinois, do you know of neighboring states like Indiana that have similar groups?
There are similar groups in states, in nearby states. In terms of Indiana specifically, I'm not aware of what those specific groups are, but if anyone wants to contact us, we're happy to connect them. But we do focus on Illinois, but we cover all of Illinois, all the way from the Wisconsin border all the way down to Carbondale.
Tell us a little bit about what your goals are.
The goal, to put it in a simple but I think meaningful phrase, is quality, affordable health care for all. We are working for a health care system that is both just and equitable, and that provides people with the health care they need at a price that they can afford, not one that puts health care out of their reach. We don't believe that health care should be a commodity. It should not be available only to the healthy and to the wealthy. We believe that it should be accessible to all people. And our effort is to work with public officials to try to enact policy that makes our health care system more just and makes our health care system equitable. And we also seek to raise awareness about the healthcare crisis so that people can see this really for the crisis that it is.
Jonathan, while we were trying to get reestablished with you, Carly Nix, our new intern, and I were talking, and I was sharing with her that and our listeners that just today someone was telling me that they have no health insurance. They're in their 40s. So this happened to be a woman. She was talking about having some tests that she needs to have because of a particular issue in her family, and just you know, can't afford a $2,000 to $4,000 test, at which if you have insurance would be covered. How does this example fit in with what you try to do?
Well, unfortunately, it is far too common that there are millions of people who are in similar situations or who are near similar situations as the person that you spoke with. Nationally, there are about 45 million people who do not have any insurance whatsoever. And here in Illinois, there are 1.8 million people who do not have insurance. And it's easy to kind of tick off the statistics, but for each one of those numbers, there's a personal health care story. And it's people like the woman that whom you spoke with that we really try to serve and really try to give a voice to kind of lift up their concerns and lift up their situation and really advocate for a system that can provide them with the health care they need and that allows them to see a doctor at an affordable rate, that gives them access to hospital care that they need when they need it, rather than putting them in a situation where they're either worried that if they get sick, they won't be able to get care, or that if they are insured, that their insurance may not be enough, and
sure,
they may be saddled with medical debt that is beyond their means to deal with. And it's that type of stress that we really don't want to see people have to live with. There should be some peace of mind, we really believe, when it comes to health care.
Jonathan, for listeners who may share your goals with the Campaign for Better Health Care, I'd like to ask you how people can get involved, if you could give contact information just right now at the top of the show, and we'll give it again later. But tell us how people can get involved, and then in a moment I'll give the phone numbers for people to call in who would like to ask a specific question.
There are many ways to get involved, and to find out what you can do, there's a couple ways to contact us. You can always visit our website. That website is www.cbhconline.org, www.cbhconline.org. You can also call our Champaign office, and that number is 217-352-5600. That's 217-352-5600, and you can ask for our organizer in that area, Josephine Calipeni. And then, if I could, I'll give out one other number.
Of course, and this program is heard for a fairly wide area. So, is there an 800 number at all?
There's not.
There's one in Chicago. There's one here in Champaign.
And okay. I'll give the Chicago number too.
Sure.
It's 312-913-9449. 312-913-9449. Now, there is a toll-free number that we have set up that people can call if they need assistance with a health insurance issue.
Uh-huh.
And that is a toll-free number that anyone in the state can call. It's our helpline. It's 1-888-544-8271. That's 1-888-544-8271. And if you're struggling with a health insurance issue, maybe you're wondering if you're eligible for a public program, or if you're uninsured or underinsured and wonder what your options are, you can call. If we don't answer, leave a message, and we'll have one of our staff members or a trained volunteer who can assist you.
All right, and let me give that website address again. It's cbhconline.org. for Campaign for Better Health Care.
Yes, and then there's also a very specific way that people of faith and congregations can get involved this coming March. Should I just go ahead and...
Yes, please tell us.
Yeah, it's an event. It'll be the third year that we've done it. It's called Sound the Alarm for Healthcare Justice, Sound the Alarm. And it'll be March 13 through 15. And the event is based on a very simple thing, and that is congregations across the state will ring a bell or make some symbolic sound 18 times during that weekend, during a service on that weekend, one time for every 100,000 people in Illinois who do not have health insurance. I mentioned 1.8 million people are uninsured. It's also interesting to note, too, that the 18 number comes up again, in a bad case and a good case. The bad case is 18 people die every week in Illinois as a result of not having insurance. That's based on a study that was put out by Families USA. And so that's kind of another connection that number 18 has. The positive connection that many of our Jewish congregations have noted is that in that faith tradition, 18 corresponds to health or to life, chai. And so it's a very meaningful number that's connected with this issue. And there's many ways for congregations to be involved in their own service. They can sound a bell or make a symbolic 18 sound 18 times and to just pause and remember the needs of those who are uninsured. They can pause to pray for those who are uninsured. If they go on our website at the address that you mentioned, they can find out more information about the event. We have a free event packet. That packet includes information about the healthcare crisis. It includes an interfaith prayer that was written by Reverend Larry Greenfield, who's on our steering committee, and other resources that congregations can use. But, you know, there'll be a sense for that weekend, there'll be bells ringing across the state to call attention to this issue as one that people of faith really have to pay attention to. This really is a moral issue. So we invite all congregations and all people of faith to participate in that very meaningful event, and that's, again, March 13 through 15.
We're talking on Keeping the Faith this afternoon with Jonathan Vanderbrug, who is the Healthcare Justice Director for the Campaign for Better Healthcare here in Illinois. Let me give the phone numbers. We've given a lot of numbers in just the last few minutes, but let me give the ones to call right now if you'd like to be live on the air with our guest. In Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That'll put you in touch with our technical director, Kyle Crowe, here in the studio, and she will put you in line to get on the air with our guest. If you're listening farther away and it's a long-distance call, there is a toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. So to speak with our guest today, to ask questions, tell your story about the healthcare issues, do give us a call. Perhaps you're listening online. You may also use the 1-800 number, 222-9455 in Champaign-Urbana. Again, 333-9455. Carly Nix, our new intern, was telling me before, as the show was starting here, that she's a recent college graduate, and people are often without a insurance right after they get out from under their college situation, university situation, insurance there. And before they find their first job, they're without insurance. Do you have many of those people that you have to deal with, Jonathan?
We do, quite a bit. In fact, young adults comprise the fastest growing population of the uninsured. Young adults oftentimes do not have insurance. As you said, they've graduated and maybe they haven't gotten kind of their first, you know, full-time professional job that provides health care. And so they are often in that situation. A lot of times they lose coverage from, lose the dependent status that they have with their parents' coverage. And that makes them, it makes them in a pretty tough situation because they don't have insurance. And it's easy. All of us have experienced this. When you're younger, you can feel like, well, you know, I'm younger and I'm healthier, but you never know what happens. And so we certainly don't want young adults to be uninsured either. There's been some changes in Illinois law. There was some action taken by the state to extend a mandate, basically, that says if you are dependent and you're on your parents' plan, they have to keep you on that plan until the age of, I believe it's 25, and up to age 30, I believe, if you're in the military service. But the mandate is there for insurance companies have to basically keep that young adult on. And that doesn't solve the whole problem, obviously, but it's an attempt by the state to provide as many options for young adults as possible.
And that assumes, obviously, that the parents have insurance to start with.
Absolutely, absolutely, right. Which is, right, you know, a big assumption. So there's still a lot of work that has to be done.
We have our caller waiting on line number one of the local lines. Let's go to that caller. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith with our guest, Jonathan Vanderbrug.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to try to raise some of the broader issues that are going on. I've sort of kept track of the campaign's activity through Jim Duffett with the local office, which I think is still open here in Champaign, right? The Campaign for Better Healthcare, right?
Yes, Jonathan, can you hear that?
Are you hearing me?
Looks like We may be having trouble with Jonathan hearing again. But we have a guest who just come into the studio. This is Josephine Calipeni, and you are from here in the local office of Champaign.
Yes, I am.
Well, anyway,
can
let
you
me
answer this question?
I can try.
let me raise the issue, because I know that the problem with working in Springfield has been almost insurmountable, but the situation now with Pat Quinn as governor, whose personal physician and mentor in healthcare is Quentin Young, who's been with Physicians for Universal Healthcare for some decades now. Quinn, I understand, actually walked 500 miles across the state of Illinois with Dr. Young to bring attention to the need for healthcare reform, and particularly even single payer. So I think we have an opportunity, particularly when you look at the history of the Clinton attempt at reform. Senator Simon, whose seat was recently vacated by Obama, had a bill at that time. It didn't last very long. The healthcare industries went after it rather vigorously, and he had a couple of co-sponsors of it, and that was to allow states to individually try out different methods, sort of reprogram all of the funding with the view of experimenting, and even to the extent of experimenting with a single payer in a one state. So it seems to me that Illinoisans have a particular onus on us. We've had this history of this kind of organizing you people have done for so long. We have an attempt to bring health care back to the national level, but the idea of allowing for some experiments and some different variations, as Senator Simon advocated to the extent of, it just seems to me that we need to seize the moment, and I'd just like to hear some comments on that as a strategy possibility, and it seems to me that something really radically different has to be tried to bring more of the resources that are used in healthcare to actual healthcare as opposed to bureaucracy and health insurance profits. Thanks.
Thank you for the question. I appreciate the call. Jonathan, were you able to hear that? I know we were having, again, some technical problems.
Yeah, I was.
Great. And did you hear that Josephine has joined us, too?
So you have two of us now.
Yeah. I do. Yes. Welcome, Josephine.
Thank you.
I mean, I think the caller makes some great points, and I'm glad he said what he said. We do have a history here in Illinois of working hard for health care reform. He mentioned Senator Simon. That's absolutely right. I think Lieutenant Governor Quinn, now Governor Quinn, has shown that he cares about this issue, and we're really looking forward to working with him. And we're excited about some of the possibilities. We have a new Senate president as well, and looking forward to working with him. So, you know, Illinois was the first state in the union, for example, to cover all children, and we led the way in that. And now is an opportune time for us to kind of lead the way again. And we are ultimately going to need, and if we're going to really, truly reform the healthcare system, we're going to need a joint federal-state partnership. It's not something we can just cast upon the federal government. We will need action by the federal government, obviously. But the state's also going to have to get involved, too. That's the way our system works with federal and state. And so we need people like Governor Quinn and our state senators and state representatives to also be really active on this issue. We do have a great opportunity now, and we'll really push forward, and we need to keep push, but really push forward to try to make some things happen in the next couple months, in the next year or so.
The caller also began by asking who was here in the Champaign office. Josephine, could you tell us a little bit about that? Who staffs this office?
Absolutely. Campaign for Better Healthcare is really blessed to have two offices. There's the Chicago office and the Champaign office. We work jointly to make sure that the focus is a statewide organizing focus. In the Champaign office, we have our executive directors based in the Champaign office. There are
Who's that?
Jim Duffett. Our executive director is Jim Duffett. And then there are several organizers that work downstate organizing, and also work with events that are going on in the Chicagoland area to make sure that there's cohesion there. We're also blessed because we are centrally located in Champaign. We can tap into the university, and we're it's awesome to have volunteers and work studies and interns and different things like that, people that are really that are really motivated about healthcare and healthcare reform. So,
and we did give earlier the number of the Champaign office, which is 217-352-5600. So 217-352-5600 to reach the Champaign office.
Absolutely. And I also wanted to touch one of the things that the caller mentioned is the need to really keep this at the forefront. And that's really done by organizing. It's done by more than just Governor Pat Quinn. It's done by me and my neighbor and making sure that we are doing all that we can to keep this issue at the forefront of all of our elected officials, but also educating our church bodies, our hobby groups that we're involved in to make sure that this is a relevant and upfront issue.
And a question from our new intern, Carly Nix, a recent graduate of Boston University in religion.
Congratulations.
One thing, in Massachusetts, they recently made it required so that everyone has health care in Massachusetts. But the state is having a hard time dealing with the fact that there are so many new people, and they're having a sort of, a problem processing all of that information and getting everyone actually insured. So what are some things that the state of Illinois would have to do in order to make sure that a situation like that wouldn't arise?
Jonathan, can you hear?
Yeah. I mean, my first response is we'll look forward to that problem because that means that coverage has been expanded to more people. But you're right. It takes some retooling. And I think that makes it particularly important that our state officials and our elected officials here in Springfield are with it and are watching things and are ready to go. As many people who are listening, I'm sure, are aware that recently President Obama signed SCHIP legislation, and that legislation expands funding for children, health insurance for children. And it will mean that Illinois will get something of the order of $700 million to $1.5 billion more from the federal government for health care. And I think what our concern is, it's one thing to win the money and to receive the money, but we need to make sure that that money is spent on health care and is indeed not used to, kind of play a shell game and put the money towards elsewhere. So the money does go to health care, that the money does go to children's health care, and it goes to making sure that we're able to, process people. We have a huge problem in the state, and that is that the state is behind when it comes to paying providers. Some providers have to wait up to 90 days in order to get their funding for Medicaid, and that needs to be dealt with, and that is one of the things that we think that this new money from SCHIP, the State Children's Health Insurance Program, should go towards providers, speeding up those payments. There's also money in the stimulus package that's now being debated that would bring possibly another $600 million to $1.5 billion to Illinois. And that money, we really think, needs to be watched closely, too, so that it can go into the system for healthcare, not diverted for other things, and that it can go to beefing up the state's ability to process, new people when the time comes.
Jonathan, the financial downturn in the country and in fact the world is affecting all of us at a local level, a state level, and a national level, and so on. There is this stimulus package that looks like it may pass next Tuesday. We're all waiting to see with bated breath. But just at the state level, where does money come from when there's less tax revenue? There's less money to work with.
Well, I mean, I think that's one thing that we're going to have to look into. I think that in terms of revenue, there will be new money coming down from the federal government, and it will be a sizable chunk of money. And I think if we use that responsibly and put it towards health care, it'll make a tremendous difference. But, there is interest in looking for new sources of revenue, too. The Healthcare Justice Act was passed in 2004, And that act was sponsored by then little-known state senator called Barack Obama. And it led to a task force, and that task force made recommendations. And one of the recommendations was a business assessment. In other words, there are businesses in the state of Illinois who are very large businesses, who are very wealthy businesses, even during these times, and who do not provide their employees with health care. And Obama is proposing an assessment at the national level, but the task force said that, you know, it's a matter of shared responsibility. Individuals need to play a role, government needs to play a role, and businesses need to play a role. And part of asking businesses to play a role, at least large businesses, is to say, you know, we expect that you pay a certain amount for yourself, for your employees to have health care. And if you don't do that, then that means the federal government has to pay for it. So then you will pay an assessment. So you do one or the other. There was a nine-month period a couple years ago when Illinois spent about $350 million to pay for public programs for to provide health care for employees of large companies, Fortune 500 companies. So that's one mechanism that you can look at. But we do have new federal funds coming down. We need to put those towards health care. And we also, and then I would end with saying this, we also need to curtail the power of insurance companies. They're making huge profits right now off of people. They can bar you for your health status, your gender, even your age. And we need to curtail their profits so that more money doesn't get sucked out of the system and from our wallets into their treasury. So all those things are things that we can look at in terms of funding health care reform.
We're talking with two people from the Campaign for Better Health Care. And let me give the numbers again so that listeners may call in with a question or a comment. Anywhere the program is heard, you may call toll-free 1-800-222-9455 in Champaign-Urbana, here where the WILL studio is located. You may call 333-9455 to access several local numbers. Our engineer, Kyle Crowe, will answer the phone and get you on the air very quickly. You might let her know if you're calling from a cell phone. We'll make a special effort to get to you soon. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. Next week I'll be talking with Michael Zimmerman, Dean of Liberal Arts and Sciences at Butler University, about a nationwide program that includes rabbis and ministers and priests who next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we'll be celebrating evolution. And we'll be talking with Dean Butler about that and how people of faith can accept evolution as part of their understanding of how the world has come to be. On February 22nd, Jerry Sturmer will be our guest from Voices for Children. Robert Jones on March 1st, Juan Cole March 8th. Professor Mohammed Khalil on March 15. So several different guests coming up here very soon. Also in our studio today is Josephine Calipeni. Calipeni, thank you, Josephine, from the Champaign office of the Campaign for Better Health Care. So we're talking about accessible quality health care for all. Jonathan, you earlier gave an 800 number where people who have questions about their health care issues could call for assistance. Do you actually have money to give to people who are having difficulty? And if so, where did you get it?
We actually don't have money
you have advice.
to give to people. We don't have any funds. We set up the phone number as a way to provide expertise and referrals and support to people who have those problems. So we will definitely give of our time and of our expertise and really kind of stand beside people and try to get them the help that they need when they call that number. We certainly appreciate other people's gifts to us financially that helps us to fund that helpline. But we'd love to have people call if they're struggling with this issue.
And if people wish to contribute, they can go to the website cbhconline.org to find out information on how to do that. or call either the Champaign office or the Chicago number. We have a lot of people calling. Let's go to our line four. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead.
Hi, I had another question about revenue for
yes.
healthcare.
Sure.
We talk a lot about, you know, the problems with Medicare, for instance, in terms of funding it. And I just wonder, like, you know, it just seems such a shame that we've gotten away from thinking about just taxes to pay for things. You know, I feel like if we just, right now the Medicare payroll tax is about 2%, I think. You know, if we just double the 4%, you'd still be getting a huge deal in terms of premiums compared to, like, what you pay in the private market. You know, I know in my case it would be a huge benefit, and I just wonder if you guys have thought about that in terms of looking at the payroll tax as a possible revenue stream also for providing health care for everyone. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for the question. Jonathan?
I think we need to look at all options. I think that, you know, the business assessment was certainly one thing that I mentioned, new money from the federal government. But we haven't looked into that specifically, but certainly we need to look at all options. And I would, you know, the system that we have now, and I've just kind of stressed this, is one that really profits insurance companies. And in Illinois, Illinois is the Wild West of the insurance industry. They can do basically anything that they want to do. And
it's very unregulated.
Very unregulated. And the premiums that they can charge people for even skimpy services is just astronomical. That's driving up, I think, that marketing costs, profits are driving up healthcare costs, and we need to regulate them more and drive down costs that way too.
We have another caller waiting on a cell. Here's line number one. Yes, do you have a question?
Hello?
Yes, line number one. Go ahead.
Oh, you can hear me all right.
I can.
I'm glad that you're talking about going after the large corporations first and trying to put the squeeze on them first, because one thing that the Republicans have always done is they scare the small businessmen by saying, oh, you're going to get squeezed out of existence by these onerous bureaucratic costs, and the way to do it is to go after the people who can afford it. And lest anybody, your listeners, was unclear who you're talking about, I assume you're talking about Walmart, McDonald's, and these companies who we have been basically being subsidized, allowing them to pay extremely low wages, not provide insurance. And then we give them TIF money to help them build their businesses, and our tax dollars pay for that also. So that would be my comment. I trust those are the companies you're speaking of.
The example that comes to, this is Jonathan, the example that comes to my mind is actually a report that I heard downstate where employees of Walmart would get their orientation packet, and then because they didn't really have health coverage, they weren't providing their employees with health coverage or with only meager coverage, at the back of their packet was an application for Medicaid because they really weren't getting coverage. And so, you know, here you have a large corporation who's sending their employees over to get Medicaid. We, the taxpayers, are then paying for that. And then you have small businesses that are doing the right thing, that are struggling to provide health care, and they get undercut by a big Walmart that, in essence, we're subsidizing. And I guess that brings up another point that I'd like to make, and that is that small businesses particularly are really struggling with this healthcare issue. They want to do what's right by their employees. They care about their employees. But healthcare costs are really becoming more and more a burden, and they're having a tougher time providing care for their employees. And it's really those businesses that are the engines of our economy, that employ the majority of people in the United States, that we really need to provide affordable options to. You mentioned, Steve, you know, we are definitely, as everyone knows, in the middle of an economic crisis. And if we truly want to get out of this crisis, if we truly want economic security, we need health security. You know, we need to fix our healthcare system. We need an efficient and fair healthcare system if we're really going to have an efficient and fair economy. So we don't really view a difference between economic security and health security. They're both together, and a large part of that is small business.
How old of an organization is the Campaign for Better Health Care here in Illinois?
We have been around since 1989, so we're coming up on 2 decades of work on this issue.
How did it begin?
It began really out of some of the early fights, you know, pre-Clinton, of course, and it began with our executive director, Jim Duffett, and the genesis were, again, a very diverse group of interests and constituencies who kind of said, you know, enough is enough. We really need to come together, and we need to solve this healthcare crisis. And the crisis is worse now, 2 decades later, but I think with a new administration, with the Obama administration, and now with new leadership in Springfield, we have the best opportunity, I think, in more than a decade to really fix our healthcare system and bring quality, affordable healthcare to all. So this is a very exciting time in our organization, and I think for our state and nation as a whole, it's time to get to work and get things done.
Josephine, tell us a little bit about what you do here out of the Champaign office.
Well, out of the Champaign office, similar to the organizing that's going on in the Chicago office, one of the main things that we're doing is building coalitions of diverse backgrounds of organizations and individuals that come together and represent a congressional district. And through that, we disseminate information, educate our local communities, and host various events like our upcoming Sound the Alarm.
The Sound the Alarm is the March 13th to 15th event where I guess all kinds of noises will be made.
Absolutely.
The church bells will ring and chauffeurs will be blown,
absolutely.
I suppose.
And there's a lot of other different ways to get involved. There are several faith organizations that hold prayer vigils and do discussion groups and disseminate information and packets about where legislative offices are and where different legislators stand regarding the issue of health care reform.
We're about down about the last 18 minutes of this program. Let me make a quick announcement. Support for Keeping the Faith has been provided by for some years from the University YMCA here at the University of Illinois. And coming up at the Y this Tuesday noon will be a talk by Jacqueline Williams, who is the Vice Chancellor for Institutional Advancement at the university, about the 2008 All Classes Black Alumni Reunion at the university, celebrating the 40th anniversary of Project 500, when the University of Illinois made a very conscious effort to become much more inclusive. So if you'd like to learn a bit about that very important last 40-year history, do come to University Y at 1001 South Wright Street, right across from Lincoln Hall on campus at noon, for a free lecture and a time for questions with Jacqueline Williams. And then also at the University of Y this Friday, February 13, Professor David Ruzick from the Department of Nuclear Plasma at the university will be dispelling the myths about nuclear power. And folks at the Y have told me that they're expecting a very large crowd to come to that. So if you want to order a lunch, do call the Y in advance before Friday noon. The number is 337-1500 to reserve a lunch. Of course, you can come and bring your own lunch or just come and listen. But if you do want a lunch at the Y Thai, the Y Eatery, do call and make a reservation. That's Dispelling the Myths About Nuclear Power this Friday. Well, let's get back to our guest today, both in the studio and by phone. And let me give the phone numbers for people to call in with comments or questions. 333-9455 in Champaign-Urbana. Elsewhere, 1-800-222-9455. And incidentally, if listeners have missed part of this program or other programs that they'd like to here via computer, they are all archived at will.illinois.edu. Then click on AM as opposed to FM, and then you'll see Keeping the Faith, and you can go to this program and hear it in its entirety and other programs from earlier. Getting back to, I want to see, we have a caller waiting. Let's go to the phones. Line number one. Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, Yes, I've been in a Brandon resident since 1989, and I picked up the comment that you guys don't have any funds, but you guys are forever sending people by to sign petitions for fundraising and calling people on the phone. So I'd be curious how much of your money goes to health care and how much goes to wages and people, raising this whole thing. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for the call. Jonathan?
He might have us confused with another organization. We actually don't go door-to-door fundraising. We don't really call either, so he might be confusing us with another organization. We do depend on individual donations and also private foundations. And like many organizations our size and like businesses, we struggle to find affordable health care too. So.
Go ahead, Josephine.
I was going to say, it also is noteworthy to say that we have a very limited staff that's going throughout Illinois to educate various populations, meet with various stakeholders, educate service providers, organize neighborhoods, and just really educate people about this issue. So, it's worth noting that, and not only is our helpline there to take calls, but the helpline also serves as a resource center. And it takes, staffing that, making sure that there's someone available who's not only working something like an 800 resource number, but is also building relationships with various organizations throughout the community that can provide free legal advice, that can provide resources for different service providers that are calling that helpline.
How large is your staff statewide?
Our statewide staff, the Chicago office, I believe, has 6, and the Champaign office has 6.
Yeah, we actually we have 4 staff, and then we also work with the VISTA program. So we have some, the other 2 are actually VISTA volunteers.
And what is your total budget?
Our total budget, when we look at all of our services, is around, and don't quote me on this, but it's around $300,000 is our total budget. And through that, we fund all of our services and all of our work statewide that we do.
And where does your funding mainly come from? You mentioned some foundations and individuals. If you don't go door-to-door and you don't call, how do you get the word out?
We rely on your program, Steve. Actually, our primary funding is through private foundations. We don't receive any government funding, so we write grants and receive some very generous grants from private foundations. And then a lot of it is trying to spread the word, going on radio shows like this. Sometimes we send out appeal letters to people who've agreed to be on our listserv. It's a difficult situation now with the economy, and it's especially difficult for nonprofits. But that's basically where we get our funds.
And for people who'd like more information, online, cbhconline.org, we'll find the website for the Campaign for Better Health Care. The voice of Illinois consumers working for accessible quality health care for all. If you'd like to make a phone call, the Champaign office is 217-352-5600. The Chicago office for people who are listening online is 312-913-9449 for more information. And the helpline for information, if you're suffering from being with no insurance, having health care needs, 1-888-544-8271. All right. What other services does your small staff with limited resources are you able to provide, Jonathan?
Well, again, we mentioned the helpline. We also, and I'm here just kind of focusing on the Faith Caucus, we also work to provide additional and create additional resources for people of faith, in terms of the Faith Caucus, people of faith to get involved in advocacy. And if people go on our website,
They can also download a what we call a congregational advocacy toolkit, and you can get the toolkit in one of four versions. You can get an interfaith version. There's one for the Christian tradition, one for the Jewish tradition, one for the Muslim tradition, written by leaders of those faiths. And they include interfaith prayers that deal with healing and justice. They include faith-based discussion guides, even a youth curriculum that deals with the issue of healthcare reform and looking at it from a perspective of faith. So we produced, and those are all, by the way, downloadable from our website. So if they go to our website, they can download those for free. We do discussions. We sponsor public hearings. We provide trainings free of charge to people of faith who want to get involved in advocacy. We do postcard campaigns, a lot of advocacy days down in Springfield, and it's all of those activities that we do to try to engage people of faith and others in advocating for this issue.
Absolutely.
Josie, I don't know if you want to add some
stuff
to the campaign.
Absolutely. I think, as I mentioned, one of the things that we have is a congressional group that represents each congressional district throughout Illinois. And that's open to anybody, organizational representation or individual. And through that, we offer various trainings that not only build the capacity of an individual, but also can help build the capacity of any organization. And I think one of the key things that we offer is a unified voice on the issue of healthcare reform, but also we have relationships with different legislators and other organizations. So we help organizations network with other organizations. But let's say there's an organization who's dealing with three statewide issues, and what they want to do is set up a legislative meeting with their local congressman. What we do is, what we can help to do is open that doorway, allowing them to get in the doorway to meeting with their local congressman to bring up not just the issue of healthcare reform, but other issues that are very pertinent and relevant to that organization. So I think one of our, you know, horn-tooting aspects is we're a wealth of resources and information and training.
Carly, you had a question.
And what are some things that you would, some advice that you would give to someone who called your hotline to ask about advice on healthcare issues?
Well, I can sort of give an example. I think it's probably the best way
great.
I can answer that. About 3 weeks ago, there was someone who was being told that their Medicaid coverage didn't cover a certain need that they had within their family. And what we can do is resource them to an advocacy group that's within their local community that has contacts and networks within the local hospitals, but also help them through some of the, you know, some of the verbiage that's involved in insurance coverage. So I think some of it is just a deeper understanding of what is legal, what's not legal, so that it empowers the individual to fight for themselves, but also to resource them to a local advocacy group that we're networked with in order to have an extra voice standing for them. So that's just, you know, that's just an example. But we get various calls, and it's also a resource line to share stories, which is one of our key things this year, is to gather stories from people who've had good and bad experiences regarding healthcare, you know, that's pertinent to healthcare reform. And so it's really provided an outlet for people who have a story to share and are very passionate about the issue and want to get involved.
And Jonathan, would you have an example of something, an issue that was brought to your attention, perhaps through the helpline?
Yeah, we had a call earlier this week where, and by the way, we're definitely getting more calls now that the economic crisis has hit. And we had a call where a woman lost her job, and she is 63. She had health care coverage through her employer and now is completely uninsured. And is 2 years away from Medicare, and kind of said that she is just hanging on until Medicare, and she's not really sure what she's going to do. And we kind of walked through with her, you know, what some of the options might be. We looked at COBRA, but her company never provided insurance. Well, did, but then went in this case, went completely out of business. So just
dematerialized. And we tried to look through the options. We looked at some public programs. We're still kind of working with her, and one of our staff members is still kind of chewing through the issue, seeing what public programs might be available, and letting her know what some free resources are in her local area. But we really, we do have some people who, when they call, they do step forward and tell their stories. They don't have to. And we try to collect those stories and, with the people's permission, tell those stories to legislators, because you can get kind of bogged down in statistics, but when you really have people's stories, you really realize how much of a deeply human issue this is. And when people have the courage to tell their stories, it really gets across to our leaders that this is something that affects people very personally, and it's something that we have to deal with now. Can't wait.
Jonathan, who are some of the most helpful agencies that you make referrals to of these people who have these pressing needs in terms of health?
A lot of, you know, family services in terms of All Kids program. There are a lot of very positive state programs in terms of breast cancer screening. And we mostly, we can, when as much as we can in terms of the availability, try to hook to those public programs. And so the state is actually one source of tremendous benefit to thousands of people and to many of the people that we call.
Absolutely. I would also just add to that that a lot of the free community health clinics have been major partners and resources for us whenever an emergency situation occurs, as well as I like to just mention that Land of Lincoln oftentimes provides free legal consultations regarding a specific situation.
So the Francis Nelson Health Center here in Champaign.
Absolutely, and Hope Health Clinic would be one, and Christian Health Clinic, yep.
So has there been much conversation about what the state can do as a result of the economic crisis and the fact that there's so many people that are losing health care temporarily until the economy turns back around?
I think that I would bring up two things that initially come to mind. And the first is to make sure, and I mentioned this earlier, but to make sure that the money, which will be hundreds of millions of dollars, the new money that will come down from the federal government, is actually spent on health care and is not used to plug kind of random budget gaps throughout the budget, but that goes to helping people in Illinois get quality, affordable health care. The second thing is to regulate the insurance industry. Insurance regulation is the state's purview. The federal government can take some steps, but when it comes down to it, it's the states that are responsible for regulating the insurance industry. And the insurance industry's profits have grown 3 to 4 times faster and higher and bigger than median earnings. And we really feel that people shouldn't be denied coverage because of pre-existing conditions. People should not have to pay more because of their health status or their age. And that's one step during this economic crisis that the state can take. It's budget neutral, but it would result in many more residents in Illinois having coverage and not being denied by their insurance company.
Now, the 10-person staff that's with the Campaign for Better Health Care, do you tend to get a little bit outnumbered and outspent in Springfield when you're sharing this information?
We are way outspent. You know, we cover the entire state. We are active in all congressional districts and all the different corners of the state. The insurance industry and big pharma have a lot of money, a huge amount of money, and they are very much the Goliath, and we feel very much like David.
Absolutely.
But we will continue to fight.
We are at the end of our time. Let me take the last few seconds to thank our guest, Jonathan Vanderbrug, who's the Healthcare Justice Director in the Chicago office for Campaign for Better Healthcare, and Josephine Calipeni from the Champaign office. And again, for people who might like to get involved as a volunteer, perhaps help with the advocacy and lobbying and so forth on this very—
And the Sound the Alarm event, too.
Yeah, Sound the Alarm, March 13 to 15. Champaign office, 217-352-5600. And in Chicago, the number there, is 312-913-9449. The website is cbhconline.org for Campaign for Better Health Care. I'm Steve Shoemaker, and with our intern Carly Nix, I want to thank the listeners who called in with very good questions and our two guests. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.